Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hey there, friends, and welcome to my favorite time of the afternoon, getting to spend time with you, prescribing hope for healthy families. We've got a good prescription for you today, as always. And today, that prescription for finding hope is to be consistent. And that can be really, really hard. But consistency is actually one of the most powerful tools for raising happy, healthy kids, for having a happy home life. And it may sound so simple. All of these prescriptions for hope we give you are so simple, yet somehow they're really not easy. But in a world that is constantly changing, where what's celebrated today is canceled tomorrow, where it seems like anything can happen, we have a continual, perpetual doom scroll of our phone on bad news and the unimaginable happening, consistency is a very powerful gift that we can give our families. Now, I'm not talking about rigid adherence to a routine. I'm not talking about brush your teeth at 8:03 and read a story at 8:05 and turn off the lights at 8:07 and 36 seconds. I'm talking about just consistent rhythms every day, creating a sense of security. It teaches our kids responsibility. And you know what else? Consistency actually helps kids, especially on a developmental and psychological level, to build trust. And even in those adult relationships in the home, it builds trust. Because if we know that we can trust our family members, if they have a consistent routine, that builds in trust with our relationship. So whatever that is, whether it's a nightly family dinner, a bedtime routine, weekly family traditions, just these consistent rhythms help everyone in our home to feel safe and to feel loved. Now, again, consistency is not about perfection. It's about a rigid flexibility. It's just about showing up day after day with love and intention. And when your family members know what to expect, they can thrive emotionally, mentally, and even spiritually. So today, my guest, we are going to have a conversation about this. How can we bring more consistency into our homes? How can we create a foundation where our kids can learn and grow and flourish? And so we're going to talk today to Brittany Ann about that. Now, Brittany Ann founded Equipping Godly Women a little more than 10 years ago now as a creative outlet and just a way to help provide for her family and a way to encourage Christian moms with practical biblical tips and advice. But since then, Equipping Godly Women has grown into a very popular Christian living website that reaches millions of women in nearly every country of the world. Can you believe that? With articles, podcasts, and conferences. And her work has been featured on numerous TV, radio, online ministries, including CBN, MSN, Christianity Today, Crosswalk, so many more. And she's going to talk to us today about how do we develop those spiritual habits? How do we have consistency? We'll be talking about a bunch of different topics. But Brittany Ann, we are so grateful to have you join us today. Thank you so much for your time.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I am so excited to get to talk with you.
Well, let's just dive in and share a little bit about your background, your testimony. What led you to become so passionate about helping others develop spiritual habits?
Yeah, well, I actually came into ministry on accident. I grew up in a Christian home. My grandfather was a preacher. My mom has been the church pianist for decades. So I've grown up in Christian culture my entire life. But by the time that I was in my 20s or so, it was something that I knew was important, but I didn't always make it the priority that I knew that I should. I knew my faith was supposed to be the number one thing, but when you get to be the age that I was and starting to have babies, there are so many other things that I found that I needed to be doing each day, taking care of the little ones and taking care of the house and errands and grocery shopping and cleaning and so many things that I noticed that my faith really began to fall on the wayside. And so during this time, I ended up starting Equipping Godly Women just because I needed income for my family, and it was a fun thing to do. This was when blogs were kind of starting to take off, and I said, oh, I'll create a little blog. That'll be fun, you know, just something to do while the kids are napping. What do I want to write about? Okay, I'll write about faith because, you know, why not? That's something that I could write about. So I started this just, as you said in my introduction, just as kind of a creative outlet and a hobby. But the more that I started encouraging women to get into the Bible and to just experience all that God has for them, that God just loves us so much and he has so much goodness for us and a plan and a purpose for our lives, at some point I realized, you know, I am telling these women these messages of hope and helping them to get in the Word, but I'm not in the Word as much as I want to be. I'm not doing this as consistently as I would like to be. And if I'm going to be helping these other women, because I truly believe that this is true, I believe that the Bible is helpful, I believe that prayer is powerful, I need to go first. I need to do this myself. We need to figure it out. I know the kids are little, but I know that there has to be a way. So this really, between trying to work and trying to prioritize my faith with little ones, all of the things, and to juggle it and to steward all of the things that I was given well, I really started researching habits. Okay, how do we create these habits? How do we create habits that stick? So for me in this season, what it looked like was, okay, I'm going to start with creating a habit of reading the Bible regularly. And the first thing that I did, I think we're going to get this into this. I don't want to jump ahead too much, but the first thing that I did was, okay, I'm going to start this Bible reading habit. I'm going to make this important. And we're going to work on doing this every single day.
You know, one of the things I love about your testimony and your story is that so often people who are looking for platforms like yours to help just provide some structure, some guidance, accountability, some just material to implement those habits, you know, they come across you and they think, oh, here's someone who's got it all together, who's figured it all out, who does everything right, and I can follow her. But the beautiful thing about that is your courage and authenticity and transparency and saying, you know what? It's not that I have it all together. I have the courage to say that I don't, but I'm inviting you into this journey with me. And God just blesses us so much more than it is than we ever expected or imagined. I mean, that is in his word. It's so true. And so when you step out in obedience, so I say that to encourage other women who may be out there listening, thinking that, oh, that I couldn't do something like that. You know, I couldn't encourage other women in that way or start a blog or, you know, have these kind of resources that you do. But that's just exactly the story that you shared with us, Brittany Ann, is how God used your obedience and equipped you to give others and to give an answer for the hope to which you're called, which is just so beautiful. So I'd love to know why you think it's so essential to prioritize spiritual health, especially like you've said, you are a busy mama. I'm a busy mama. We have a fast-paced world. And so often we hear families today just saying, oh, I don't have time. I wish I had more time. And yet if you really looked at our calendar and you looked at an accounting minute by minute of our day, I mean, our iPhone tells the story, right? How often, how long we spend on apps or social media or those kinds of things. How have you learned that it's essential to prioritize spiritual health before any of those other things fall into place?
There are so many reasons that I could give to this. One is because it is helpful for us. I find that so often in today's culture, it's really easy to get so focused on everything else that we just run around trying to do all the things. And there's no shortage of things that we need to do. We need to take care of the kids and the home and the laundry and all of the things, that it's really easy to miss out on our faith unless we are being intentional. It's not something that happens by accident. And so often what we can be tempted to do is just to sprinkle a little bit of faith onto an already busy life, to say, okay, I already have all of this decided. My life is already full. God, I don't have room for you, but maybe I'll just like sprinkle on a little bit of prayer somewhere, or maybe I'll just sprinkle in a little bit of Jesus here and there. And yet if we truly call ourselves Christians, we have to be honest that that's not the life that God is calling us to. We are not called to have this completely full life, and maybe we'll squeeze Jesus into the cracks a little bit if we can, if it's convenient. Instead, as we read scripture, it's very clear that God says, no, like I want followers who are all in. I want people who are so devoted to me, who like God needs to be our number one. And I think I've just had so many life experiences throughout the past, you know, growing up in a Christian home until now, plenty of time to have these experiences where I have had things that I've wanted, or I've had things that I've sought after or worked hard for that didn't happen. And instead, God had something else for me that was better. And I think I've just had that happen too many times for me to say, okay, how can I hold on so tightly to what I want when I know whatever it is that God has for me is way better than whatever it is that I am hoping for. There's so many times in my life that God did not answer my prayer, that he did not give me what I wanted because what he had for me was way better. So now, from my own perspective, I'm trying to think of, okay, I don't want to plan out my life. I'm a really bad planner. I get distracted. I get excited. I want to do all of the things. And I would absolutely spend all of my time on all of the wrong things. Instead, I really want to focus my life. And I believe that this is what God calls us to as well, is to start first by going to God and saying, okay, God, what life do you want for me? What are you calling me to? What do you want this to look like? Because if we truly believe that God is good, that he has our best interests at heart, that he knows everything, he has everything figured out, he has it all planned out, then we have to logically come to the conclusion, whatever God has for me is way better than what I have for myself. So I don't want to just sprinkle him on top. I don't want to just get his blessing for what I'm already trying to do. No, I want to start with God. I want to start with him and say, okay, God, what do you want me to do? Okay, give me the strength to do whatever it is that you want me to do. So I think for me, that's the biggest thing, is just knowing I don't want to just sprinkle him. Like, I want all of, like, I don't want to miss out on all of the goodness that God has for me because I'm distracted. I want to start there. But then also there's so many benefits of just reduced stress and more clarity for wiser decision-making and better relationships. And the list could just go on and on with all of the benefits that we can have when we put God first. And I think it just comes down to a reordering of the way that we live our life so that everything that we do, and we still do all of those things. I still do the laundry. I still do all the cleaning and the grocery shopping, and I'm happy to do those things. But I do that not as my first priority. I do them as an out of the life of love that I'm finding in Jesus. So I'm primarily a Christian. And out of that overflowing, I'm looking for ways to, okay, God has given me so much love and blessing. I want to, out of that overflow, give to others. I want to love my family. I want to love other people. And I think it just makes everything so much easier and more peaceful and more joyful when you have your priorities truly with God first and everything else flows out of that.
You're so right, Brittany. And so often, I think, especially for us as moms, we think about all the things that we need to do in the house. You talked about the laundry, or we need to eat healthier. I'm going to meal plan this week, or, you know, whatever that is, like getting the kids to their activities for school, or, oh, I need to get rid of the clutter and I need to reorganize this room. And I need to, you know, we think about all of those physical tasks that often come along with mothering. But so often I think about the attitude that I can do those with if I don't have my spiritual priorities straight. Let me tell you, there is nothing that will send me over the edge as a mom as opening up the laundry hamper to do laundry and finding clean folded clothes in there mixed with a dirty ones. I mean, I will lose my mind. It can be something as simple as that, or something as our kids come home from school and they're carrying a heavy burden and they share that with us. And if we don't have our spiritual priorities straight, it can be really hard to give out of that. And so, Brittany Ann, we're up against a break here, but I can't wait to dive into some of these specific habits that we can do to make our spiritual health, to prioritize our spiritual relationship first. Some of those include prayer, which we've been talking on this show about 52 habits for healthy families, and that number one habit is prayer. I believe it's the easiest to integrate into our day, not just sprinkle it on top, but make it the foundation for everything that we're doing. But you also have some great tips for journaling, also for prayer and just creating sustainable habits, building a Bible reading routine, and just staying grounded during those seasons where life feels overwhelming. How do we have that spiritual foundation that is going to guide everything else that we're doing? We'll be right back with more from Brittany Ann from Equipping Godly Women, Prescribing Hope for Healthy Families, and talking about being consistent in those spiritual disciplines that will help you handle whatever it is life throws your way. We'll be right back with more hope and help on the way after this break. See you then. Because of the generous donations provided from listeners like you, Preborn has rescued over 330,000 babies. But every day, the abortion industry is taking thousands of babies' lives, and we have to save them. Please donate your best gift to save more babies at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. If we learned anything from this election, it's how important it is for us to fight for the lives of babies, which is why every day Preborn Ministries fights for babies. Preborn's network of clinics are positioned in the highest abortion areas, fighting for mothers deciding between the life and death of their child. Preborn welcomes these women with God's love and offers them a free ultrasound to introduce their precious baby and hear the beautiful heartbeat. This amazing encounter gives her baby a fighting chance, and the majority of the time, she will choose life. Would you join Preborn in the fight for life? One ultrasound is just $28, and $140 will sponsor 5 ultrasounds. Babies are worth fighting for. To donate, dial #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible, and Preborn has a 4-star charity rating. Preborn is there for hurting mothers and at-risk babies, standing strong in the darkest corners of our nation. By sponsoring an ultrasound, you can be there too. One ultrasound is just $28 and doubles a baby's chance at life. Please donate your best gift to save more babies at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
Father God, I am clay in your hands. Help me to stay that way through all life's demands, because they chip and they nag and they pull at me, and every little thing I make up my mind to be. Like I'ma be a daddy who's in the mix, and I'ma be a husband who stays legit, and I pray that I'm an artist who rises above the road that is wide and filled with self-love. Everything that I see draws me, though it's only in you that I can truly see that it's a feast full of eyes, a low blow to purpose, and I'm a little kid at a 3-ring circus.
Welcome back, friends. That is Lose My Soul by Toby Mac, and that's what we're talking about a little bit today. Listen, we live in a world that is going at the speed of a smartphone. It is overwhelmed. It's on 24/7. Do you remember, are any of you old enough to remember the days when the TV would like go off in the night and you'd have that little, you know, rainbow bars across and they'd play the Star Spangled Banner and then like the TV was off. Everybody had to go to bed. We live in a world that is like Times Square. It is on 24/7, and we are constantly distracted. Our heads are constantly turned. Our priorities are constantly stretched. It is so easy to feel disconnected and rushed and out of balance. And I know I often yearn, just like you do, I long for a world that's a little slower paced, that has a deeper meaning, that has spiritual grounding, and just what can I do to help navigate life's challenges with grace and intention? And much like we just heard in that song, we often try to do all the things that we need to do as busy families today, and we're gaining the whole world and losing our soul. And today, we're talking about finding our soul through consistent spiritual practices that are so important that will help you in everything else. We think we don't have time for everything else, but the truth is, we're doing everything else so poorly without those. And so I'm delighted to be joined today by Brittany Ann. She founded Equipping Godly Women in August of 2014. You can go and find her resources, which she has a lot of great resources at equippinggodlywomen.com. That's equippinggodlywomen.com. And she is sharing with us her own journey and how she's helped other people in nurturing her own spiritual health as a busy wife and mama, doing all the things. So Brittany, welcome back. We are so glad to have you here today. Thanks for sharing your journey with us.
Yeah, I am so delighted to be here. Thank you for having me.
Well, let's dive in and let's just talk about one of these habits that you have found to be really helpful for your spiritual growth, and that is daily journaling. Now, I know there are probably a lot of women out there who are saying, nope, red light. No, I'm not doing that. I don't want to journal. Some people love to journal. Some people hate it. Some people have never tried it. I love to journal. I'm not very consistent about it. But what have you found to be the benefits of daily journaling, and how has it supported your spiritual growth?
Well, first, I think it's important to realize that when we talk about journaling, that can mean a lot of things. So the people who are out there saying, no, I could never do daily journaling, it doesn't have to look the way maybe you are envisioning it in your brain. So you could do prayer journaling where you are writing out your prayers every day. You could do prayer journaling where you're just writing down names. You could do gratitude journaling where all you are doing is sitting down and listing three things you are thankful for that day. You could do Bible journaling as you are reading through God's word, just taking notes of things that you notice. There's so many ways to do this. If you are somebody who loves journaling and you love writing and you want to take the time and grab your beautiful notebook and colored pens and write out this whole beautiful thing, absolutely, more power to you. Please go do that if that is helpful for you. But if you are someone who says, you know, I can't do that, like that's not realistic, that doesn't sound enjoyable, then don't do it. It's okay. There is no verse in the Bible that says, thou must do daily journaling. It's not a scriptural commandment. But what we can find is that it can be really helpful if it's something that you do in a way that works for you. So I think that's the first thing that we need to start is figuring out, okay, what do you actually want to do? What benefits do you actually want to get? It's the same thing with like medicine. There are so many medicines out there, I'm sure we can all agree, and they all do different things. And you would never prescribe, oh, well, just go take this medicine. It has helped me so much, so everybody needs to take this. No, if you have this specific symptom or you want this specific benefit, then you take the appropriate medicine or supplement. That's how it works. You don't have to prescribe one thing for everybody. So you need to find the one that works for you. But what I can tell you is that research has shown that there are a lot of benefits to journaling. So there have been studies that have shown that specifically journaling where you are really like writing out your feelings and you just processing on paper all of the things has been shown to decrease depression, shown to decrease stress and anxiety, shown to actually result in fewer visits to the doctor, so a better immune system, better able to just comprehend and process all of the complex emotions that we all deal with every day. So there's so many benefits, whether you are somebody who journals like that every day and you say you're going to take this time and set it aside, or you say, hey, just occasionally as I feel like it. But if you want to do a different kind of journaling and do gratitude journaling, even just the process of listing a couple of things here and there is still incredibly beneficial. I have gone through seasons where I've done that with gratitude journaling because it forces me to pay attention to, okay, what are the things that I am really thankful for? I can get so caught up and so busy that I can just rush through life and I need to do this and I need to do that. And I have four kids and they all need something. And one of them is only a couple months old, but like I have things to do. And it can be really easy to focus on all the things that go wrong. But if I am in a habit of each day sitting down, okay, here are three small things that happened over the last 24 hours. And I try not to repeat the things, but okay, here are three little things. I am so thankful for my daughter's giggle. I have a daughter who's about 9 years old and she has just the best laugh and it is hilarious. And I want to write that down because I want to take 5 minutes out of my day to say, you know, I have so many good things. And I am so thankful that right now I have a teenager who is watching my baby who is sleeping. But like, that's two things. Like, I have a teenager who is willing to help and I have a baby who is taking a nap. And both of those are beautiful things in the season of life that I am in right now. So we all want to say, oh, we're thankful for our family and we're thankful for our health. And we are. But when you get really granular, I am so thankful for these blessings. It just helps us to remember the blessings that God has given us. I also love, as a separate practice, but to write down the times where God has been faithful and he has come through. We can do that with our prayer journaling where maybe we write out our hearts like, God, I am so worried about this thing. I don't know how it's going to turn out. God, I need you to come through for me. And then he does. And it's so easy for us to forget these things. Even recently, I think it was last week, I was talking to my teenagers and I was trying to tell them God hears us and he answers our prayers, and I wanted to give them so many examples of, okay, well, here are times in my life where he has come through. I'm like, I have heard from God and I have heard this thing. And I can tell you because I've experienced it, but I'm like trying to rack my brain to be like, okay, well, what were those times? Like, do I remember all of them? Because I know that they've happened, but if I don't have them written down, then can I go back and can I recall all of those times that I have such good stories that I want to be able to share with my children? Not all of them, because, you know, they may not all be old enough to hear all of these stories yet, but I want to be able to share these stories with my children to encourage them. This is a God who hears us. This is a God who comes through. But I also need to remind myself, I need to be able to go back and look at those journals and the things that I've written in the past and say, oh, remember that time where God came through. And he did in such a way that there is no mistaking that was God. So the next time that I worry, the next time that I am fearful of something or I don't know how something's going to turn out, I can go back and I can read and I can say, oh, remember all those things that I was worried about? And I didn't need to worry because he had a plan the whole time. I just didn't know it yet. The same thing with if it's Bible journaling, it can help you to focus as you are reading, or prayer journaling also. It can really help you to focus. I know so often when I sit down to pray, like I get distracted. My brain starts thinking about work. It starts thinking about the kids. It starts thinking about a conversation that I need to have with my husband. And I'm just going a million miles an hour. So being able to sit down with a pen forces me to, okay, I'm going to focus. I'm going to set time aside. I'm going to think about this. I'm not going to get distracted. And if I do, it's really easy to get right back on because I am writing and I know where I am focusing. Or to make a prayer list and to say, okay, like I know if I pray, I can, might only have shallow prayers. Like, God help this one thing that's on my mind right now. But if I have my prayer list in front of me, then I can say, okay, here are all of the people and here are all the things that I want to make sure that I don't forget to pray for my husband and my children, but also my parents and my in-laws and our my sister-in-laws and my brother. And I want to pray for the children that we sponsor. I want to pray for my children's future spouses. And I want to pray for my friends. And there's so many like situations that we might not think through unless we have it written down. I have to write everything down. If I write it down, then I can go through and I can pray for each of these things and not forget to pray for all the really important things I want to pray for, but I would forget. And then I can go back months later and say, oh yeah, I was so worried about that, but God came through. And I think for me, that's the biggest thing is it helps me to focus and it helps me to remember, because we probably have so many stories that we've forgotten or we just didn't notice. But if you can go back and you can look, you can say, oh, it helped me that day, but it's helping me in the future also to remember all the times where our good, good God came through.
So much encouragement and wisdom in what you shared. And you just said my two favorite words together in the history of ever, but God. And, you know, doing daily journaling, it really has a biblical precedence when we look at how often the Israelites were commanded to remember what God had done in the past. And those stories were written down and shared with generation to generation. But I appreciate you acknowledging the practicalness of that and that it looks different for different people. Your analogy of medicine was very well taken. And I think about this with my kids. So during the summer, I had my kids engage in daily journaling, and it looked so different for each one of them. I mean, one of my daughters, she would write like, I woke up and the sun was warm on my face and I opened my eyes and I could see the curtains blowing and I thought about how thankful I was. I mean, just every detail of her day. To my son, who wrote, I woke up, I ate, I played, I went back to bed. Like that was all that he wrote. And then I had another kid who would draw pictures, but now I look at them as they've grown up. And those journals, by the way, are hilarious to go back and read. My kids, now that they're becoming young adults and they're older teenagers, they love to go back and pull out those journals and see what they wrote and their perspective of the world and how they've grown, not only in maturity, but also in their faith. And so now as young adults, I have one daughter who is very diligent about gratitude journaling. She is constantly writing down what she's thankful for. I have one of my sons, he is very diligent about learning. He had a life group leader, a small group leader who passed away, and he realized that he was young when that life group leader passed away, but he had imparted so much wisdom. He wanted to remember all of the lessons that he had learned. And so he'll write down things that mentors in his life that were teaching him and what lessons he'd learned. And he's diligent about journaling those. For me, what that looks like is prayer. Brittany, I love to write down what I'm praying about because it's so encouraging to go back and look and see what consumed my thoughts, consumed my worries, and to see how God had met me in that space. And I wasn't even thinking about that thing anymore, that God had fixed it, or things that He's still nurturing my heart to continue to be faithful to pray about. But there, it's hard. Prayer is one of those things, as I shared, that's the number one habit. Week one, we started with prayer. But again, there's so many obstacles. So many families say it's just hectic. What are some practical tips that you have found for finding time to pray, for making that a consistent rhythm, a priority?
The first thing that I would say is to start small. I think so often we bite off more than we can chew, or we get so inspired by other people and their whole elaborate prayer routine that they've been developing for years that we say, oh, that's what I need to do too. I need this whole big elaborate thing. I need to pray for all of the things. And we just set ourselves up for failure from the get-go, because you can't start with all of those things. You need to start with step number one. And I'm especially reminded of this having a newborn at home, that I'm sure there's so many things she would love to do, but she's not there yet. She has to work on her muscles. Right now, she's working on her arm muscles. She cannot roll over until she works on those arm muscles, and it's not easy for her. She gets very frustrated, and we have to pick her up and roll her over because she doesn't have the muscles yet. She hasn't worked on them. And it's the same thing with us in our faith. We have to work on those muscles. And I don't send her out to play in the yard. I set her on the floor, because you have to start small. You can't go like run around the whole neighborhood until you've done the little things first. So I think the biggest thing is just to start small. What is the smallest little thing that you know you can do consistently? Don't choose the thing that you would like to do on your best day. Choose the thing that you know you could do on your worst day, where if everything goes wrong, you're going to do this. So that's the first thing I would say, is start really small. The thing that helped me the most was to put it on my calendar. I did this especially when I, as I alluded to earlier, got into the habit of reading the Bible every day. I said, I know if I just plan to get around to it, I will never get around to it. I will get distracted. Someone else will always need something. It will not happen unless I make an appointment with myself. This is the time. So for me, it was 8 a.m. every morning. That was the time where my older kids were in school. The younger one was still quiet enough. She could play with toys. It was fine. And it was generally a quieter time of day. So I said, every day, 8 o'clock, this is the time, putting my bottom on the couch, this will get done. And I haven't kept that perfectly forever, but in that season, that's what I needed to do. And if I didn't do it at 8 o'clock, that was fine. I still had the whole rest of the day. I'd have a backup time. Okay, we'd get it done. But setting that time on the calendar was the most helpful thing for me. Also using some kind of tracker. I have a habit tracker on my phone right now. I have, like, especially with having a little one, I'm trying to like rebuild my habits now as I'm headed into a new season. I'm not pregnant anymore. I have more flexibility. Things are different. So I'm building new habits in real time. I'm using a habit tracker that I use on my phone every day. I just click the box. Did I do the thing? It sends me a notification. Did you do the thing today? Okay, I need to do the thing. I need to make sure that this happens. So I think setting yourself up for success by choosing something small, choosing something enjoyable. Don't make yourself do something. If you're like, I know I would hate this style of journaling. It's so terrible. I hate to do it. Then don't do it. Choose the thing where you say, okay, this is going to be enjoyable. This is going to be life-giving to me. I'm going to see the benefits. I just need to discipline myself enough to get started. And if you start small, it's really easy. And then you can add on more from there.
That is something that we can all do. And again, all of these things, this is God's grace in all of this, that it is start small and build from there. But these are the things that, if we have the faith of a mustard seed, He is faithful to make those grow. He who has begun a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. And we'll be back. I have more questions for Brittany Ann about how do you stay grounded during seasons where you just feel overwhelmed, or you feel like, I started that habit and I haven't kept it. So we'll have those answers for you. More hope on the other side of this break.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. AFA aims to evangelize the lost and disciple the believer. We aim to strengthen biblical marriages and equip parents to raise godly children.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
When you hear this, This is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at afn.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at afn.net.
So I won't be shaken. I won't be moved. My God is faithful. His promise is true. So I'll speak to the mountains. Oh, it's time to move. 'Cause my God is bigger, better, stronger, greater than me.
Welcome back, friends. That is Speak to the Mountains by Chris McClarney. And the mountain ahead of you may feel like consistency or lack thereof. Like, how do I get my daily routine down? I want to have these daily spiritual practices. I want to, whether that's journal, I want to be faithful in prayer. I want to tell God thank you for the things that I'm thankful for. I want to have a consistent Bible reading routine, but I just can't seem to be able to do that. And we're talking to Brittany Ann with Equipping Godly Women. You can go to EquippingGodlyWomen.com to find some of her resources, and she's sharing some practical guidance and encouragement, and just starting small and creating that consistent routine and having some accountability, whether that's a calendar, a habit tracker, just to be consistent. Again, not legalistic about it, but consistent and modeling to our families. I've talked about the benefits of consistency. And again, that doesn't mean a rigid schedule or being perfect. It's just creating a rhythm that works for your family, even very small, intentional routines, saying a brief blessing over your kids before they go out the door for the day, or praying over them before they go to sleep, or them waking up in the morning and seeing that your Bible is going to be open on the kitchen table. They know you've been there and you've done a morning devotional along with your coffee. These things are great ways to give our kids security in a world that feels very insecure, to help them to feel courage in a world that tells them to feel afraid. These moments become anchors for our family. It helps us to build trust, to know that we are creating a safe space in an unsafe world. And before the break, Brittany Ann was giving some really helpful practical tips on what do you do to build that Bible routine, or pray every day, or start journaling. And she gave a great analogy about her baby. She has a little baby now, not being able to roll over yet. And Brittany Ann, this made me think of my advice as pediatric nurse practitioner. So when babies are first in that stage and they don't yet know how to roll over and they're just learning to have their head up, I tell parents all the time to do something called tummy time, which helps babies to build those muscles in their shoulders and their arms so that they can roll over and grow and mature. And when parents hear tummy time, they think, oh, okay, well, I have to have this activity center. It's got to be 30 minutes. I've got to, you know, just got to be this big ordeal. And that's not the case at all. I tell them, no, this is how you do tummy time. When you're changing their diaper, which you're already doing 14 million times a day, just roll them over on their tummy 10 to 30 seconds. And that consistency, that small consistency over time, you're already changing their diaper, and do that. I know that is for some people are thinking, I'm not in that life stage, but maybe you are in that life stage. Maybe you do feel like that baby that needs some tummy time as far as your spiritual habits go. And we think the same thing, Brittany Ann. We think like we have to set up a specific chair with a candle. It has to be, you know, Instagram worthy. We have to open our Bible. We have to do this specific study. We have to have this highlighter. It has to be exactly 30 minutes. And that's just not the case either. Sometimes just starting small, and whatever that is the key. So what have you learned? What are the keys to create healthy habits that you can actually stick to long term, that will actually stay? I loved what you talked about, like having certain rhythms and habits for certain seasons. It doesn't mean it has to look that way always. But what are the keys to creating healthy habits that will actually stick?
I think part of it comes down to what we talked about before, how we set those habits in the first place. So making sure that you are choosing something that is enjoyable to you, not something that you're doing just because you feel like you have to, that you are doing something that is small, that you're not trying to do all of the things all at once. But if you can get started just with something really small that you enjoy, maybe you pair something that maybe isn't enjoyable at first with something that is really enjoyable at first. So if you say, okay, sitting down to read the Bible is not something I enjoy because I just can't focus. Okay, what can you do? There have been so many different ways that I've interacted with the Bible over the years as my season has changed. So there have been times where I sat down with a paper Bible in my lap to read the Bible. But there are other seasons where that just wasn't working well for me. So my biggest tip for staying consistent over the long haul is to start small with something that you think, okay, I can do this in this season. Go as long as you can. And the day that you fall off the wagon, ask yourself, what went wrong? So there is just very little chance that you are going to set a habit tomorrow and you're going to keep it for the rest of your life until you die. Like, that's just, it's not realistic. We don't want to place that kind of pressure on ourselves. So instead, you're going to start something. You're going to keep it for however many days you do. Maybe you keep it for 3 days. Maybe you keep it for 5 days. Could be 7 days. Who knows? You keep it for a period of time. And then there is a day where you don't keep that habit anymore. On that day, I do not want you to say, oh, I'm a failure. Oh, I can't do this. Oh, it's too hard. I might as well just give up. On that day, I want you to say, what went wrong? Why didn't I keep my habit on this day? And get really specific about what it is. There's no shame, just curiosity. What was the thing that got in my way today? Was it that I just really didn't feel like it? It didn't sound fun to me. Okay, so if it wasn't fun enough, how can you make it more fun? Perhaps you have been just like sitting and reading through the genealogies and you're like, oh, this is so hard to like get through this portion of the Bible. Okay, so maybe to get through that portion of the Bible, you read it alongside of a Bible study, or you read it with a friend, or you find a way to make it more enjoyable. Maybe you read it while you are enjoying a cup of coffee on the back porch on a nice summer morning and you say, oh, this is really fun. So it's not something you have to do. It's something you get to do because you say, hey, this is my time. Like, I get to go out on the porch by myself. Yes, I love that. So make it something that's really enjoyable. Or maybe you fall off the wagon because you didn't have the materials that you needed. And you said, oh, I really wanted to do this thing, but, you know, I really wanted a prayer journal, but like all of my pens ran out of ink and I like, couldn't find my notebook. And like, I didn't have what I needed. Okay, so if that's the problem, easy. You go to the store later today, you go to the store tomorrow, you get the materials that you need, and then you just keep going. Or maybe you say, you know, I really wanted to, but I was so busy. I just can't find the time. Okay, so if that's the problem, again, like different problems are going to have different solutions. So if your problem is that you're too busy, how can you do this in a way that fits into your busy life a little bit better? So there have been seasons of my life, like I said, that I sit down and read a paper Bible and I set that time aside. There have also been seasons of my life where I'm like, I am so busy right now. Like, I know, like, I am a Christian author. Like, I know this is like my number one thing, but like, man, life is crazy. So I would listen to an app on my phone that's like a Bible study app, and I would listen to it while I was driving the kids to school because I know I'm going to be in the car. It's time that I have. Instead of flipping random radio channels, I could listen to the Bible on my phone. And that is something that I could do. And then summer rolled around and then that didn't work anymore because I wasn't driving the kids to school anymore. So That's okay. So the point isn't that you're going to do something you're going to keep for the rest of eternity. And if you don't, you're a failure. The point is you figure out what is the small thing I can do right now. You do it as many days as you can. Maybe you make it 3 days and then you say, what went wrong? You fix it. And okay, last time you went 3 days, now let's make it 4 days. Okay, yes, we're going to make it 4 days. And then you fall off the wagon and you say, okay, what's the thing? We're going to fix it. Now let's make it 5 days. And you just keep going. You just don't quit. Rather than saying, I'm a failure, I can't do it, you say, you know what? I did it 3 days. I did it 4 days. I am the kind of woman who does this thing. If I get knocked down, that's fine. I will keep going tomorrow. And I think that's the biggest thing is just don't quit. Just keep going. Figure out a way to make it work for you. Tweak what's not working because the problem isn't that you can't do it. The problem is you just need a better plan. So tweak your plan and just keep going tomorrow.
That is encouraging. And I think about, you know, the greatest accountability that I have in practicing spiritual disciplines is my kids. If I tell them I'm going to do something, let me tell you, Brittany, and they do not let me forget it. Oh, I thought you said you were going to do this. And it is just that little prompt that I need to say, yes, I did say that. Let me do that. You know, that is really helpful. But I think, again, just finding those things for different seasons. And one strategy that might be really helpful for some of our listeners is something called YouVersion. These are devotionals that can be found on the Bible app that are on your phone. And I know, Brittany Ann, that you have some YouVersion devotionals. One of them that I'm looking at right now is Fall in Love with God's Word, Practical Strategies for Busy Women. That sounds perfect to what we're talking about today. But if you subscribe to that, then these are free plans that you can start. It gives you a prompt every day on your phone. Hey, read this. And it's just a few minutes a day. Now, I say this all the time, Brittany Ann. I will say, oh, I don't know if I have time. Oh, I didn't have time to get that out today. But on Sunday morning, when I'm walking into church, my screen time app will come up and I can see, oh yes, but I had time to check out what was going on this app or that app, or look at my photos and organize them for 2 hours and 47 minutes this week, you know, whatever it was. Those kinds of measures of accountability, it really is a matter of intentionality. And the bottom line is that our kids just need to see us consistently having some spiritual practices, which again, may look different in different times and seasons. I'm with you. Summer looks way different than the school year because we have different sleep schedules and just a little lack of consistency in schedule. So that looks different. So whatever it is, whatever age or stage it is, do they see you going to God's word? Do they see you praying? Do they see you turning to the Lord in some way, in some point? One of the consistent practices that I have is asking my kids every night before they go to bed, how can I pray for you? And sometimes they'll tell me a lot. Sometimes they'll tell me a little, but it's really just that simple, consistent practice. So when life feels overwhelming, when we feel like we're trying all the things, Brittany Ann, it just feels like it's just not sticking. What are some practical strategies that you can recommend to just stay grounded and keep on trying?
The first thing I'm going to say is give yourself grace. It is so easy to listen, and I love to do this. It's so easy to listen to all of the podcasts and scroll all of the social media and see all of the things that all of the people are doing and say, that is such a good idea. I should do that, and I should do that, and I should do that, and I should. I get really excited. I'm like a puppy. I want to do all of the things. But apparently, I am told that that is not realistic. And it can cause problems with your family when you turn into a crazy person trying to do all of the things. You're like, I'm just trying to be in the Word. But it's making you not a very nice person because you're so stressed out trying to do all the things. There are seasons of your life where you will be able to do more things. And there are seasons of your life where you will be able to do fewer things. And recently when I was pregnant, I thought, I'm going to be one of those pregnant women who like do all of the things. I am going to like exercise and I'm going to read my Bible. And I'm going to do all. It did not happen. It was the worst pregnancy I've had so far. And I did not read my Bible very much at all during this time. I did not have the bandwidth. And I don't say that as a failure. I just say that as, you know what? Some seasons are going to be better than others, and that's okay. You can give yourself grace to do what you can do. But I think that there's a big difference between saying, you know, I am trying my hardest and I just can't do it yet. Like a baby who like they're trying so hard, they just don't have those muscles yet. Versus someone who says, yeah, like I should read my Bible, but like they just don't prioritize it. You're like, I'm just going to go scroll Instagram. There's nothing wrong with scrolling Instagram. We all need a brain break. But I think we can be honest with ourselves if we really, truly are trying our best, and we just need to give ourselves a little bit of grace versus if we are really not making it a priority and we say that we could. So if you are someone who's saying, you know, I can't, it's just not the season, that's okay. Like, do what you can do. We have to keep in mind, Moses did not read the Bible every day. Jesus likely did not read the Bible every day. It did not exist yet. So I think sometimes we put so much pressure on ourselves, we have to do all of the things. And you know what? The founding fathers of Christianity did not do these things every day. But what can we do? That's the question I always come back to. Okay, what can you do in this season? Can you pray, even if it's just a little bit? Can you spend some time in God's word? What does that look like in your season that you're in right now? If you are in a season where you have little kids at home, okay, can you, I loved your example of having the kids keep you accountable. If you tell your children, hey, we're going to read the Bible, like we're going to read a Bible story every night before bedtime, they will remind you. Yes, if you can incorporate it into what you're doing anyways. I started doing that in the summers when I was making my kids lunch anyways. My kids, my oldest is a teenager, but they're not all quite that age yet. So during the summers, when I'm making them lunch anyways, while they are eating, we're all here anyways, I would say, hey, let's read a little bit of the Bible. And they loved it. Who doesn't love story time? And that was great in the summers. But when school went back into session, like I couldn't do that anymore. So recently I'm trying to be like, okay, at dinner time, we're all sitting down for dinner. How can we incorporate this into a dinner time? And the kids love it. They're like, yes, mom, will you read us some of the Bible? Yes, I will. So incorporating that into it makes it easier, but you really just have to figure out what is going to work for you and your family. What can you do in this season? Can you sit down with a paper Bible? Can you sit down in prayer? Or do you need to listen to an app? Do you need to just incorporate your kids and say, hey, this isn't everything I want to do, but this is what I can do in the season, just to start like building those habit muscles. Mm-hmm. And you can always add on more later.
Yeah, you can. Well, Brittany Ann, I can't believe it. We're already out of time. But listen, from her website, do you want a strong faith, a close family, and a life you love? You can join her community of Christian moms. Go to equippinggodlywomen.com for so many more resources. And Brittany Ann is just a very relatable and encouraging voice that will encourage you along your journey. Listen, I pray the Lord will bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you as you adopt these healthy habits and choose consistency. We'll see you next time.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.